I want to thank y'all for having me back to Zion's Rest Primitive Baptist Church. It's always good to come here. It's good to come to the state of Alabama. And every week or every season, I try to get a kind of a thematic verse. And this is one that's been on my heart and mind at my home church and for y'all as well. And quite frankly, for the Primitive Baptist Church. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, these are the last words that Peter would write. It's the last tweet. It's the last Facebook message. And he is sending it to his church that he has labored with and people that he loves. And he says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Before I begin tonight's message, I'd like to tell you why that's just been on my heart. I was blind, and now I see.
Amen.
I was lost, and I'm not lost anymore. I'm found.
Amen.
And quite frankly, I was dead, and now I'm alive. So I'm going to preach like I'm alive, and I hope I'm preaching to people that are alive. And if you want to shout amen, please shout amen. You're not going to offend me at all, because we should be a lively church.
Amen.
And what we believe should be something that gives us great joy. And here's my point. I don't want to. And here's the other thing I heard. I heard people that were not Primitive Baptists made fun of. I heard us call to be hateful to homosexuals. I have no desire to be hateful to homosexuals.
Amen.
I don't. That sin, it's a sin.
Right.
But I want to love them, and I want them to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want people that are in sin to know Jesus Christ. I want the young lady that's struggling with anorexia, and I want the people that are having hurting marriages, I want them to know Jesus Christ. I want people that have been divorced to know that they can come to our church and hear Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want outcasts to hear Jesus Christ. And I want to preach Jesus Christ. But because here's the thing, I want you to know the rest that we have in a Savior who was perfect. And that means I don't have to be, because I'm in him. And that's who we're going to proclaim tonight. And there is a big difference, because Peter says in his gospel, he says in his letter, he says, I want you to grow in grace and in knowledge. And I was having just such a wonderful conversation with Brother Jim. And, you know, we have, and I'm sure y'all have experienced this, but when you're talking to people about the Primitive Baptist Church, it's the people that are not religious that are looking at you saying, yeah, I believe that. And we have the message.
Yeah.
And I'm optimistic for our people if we could just stop tripping over our own feet.
Amen.
It's the religious people that have troubles with us. And it's the popes of the Primitive Baptist Church that want you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I might tell you, hey, look at this chair. This chair is about 3.5 feet tall. It's about maybe 1.5 feet wide. It's made of wood and it's made of wicker. And you know all you need to know about this chair. But until you sit in it, you're not really trusting in this chair. I'm calling you to trust in the chair. And I'm going to teach you a little bit maybe about the chair. But I'm calling you to rest in Jesus Christ. And then I have some of my brethren in the ministry. It's like, well, Brother John, you said that thing was 3.5 feet tall. That would be 42 inches. And the thing is only 41 inches. So you need to go sit over there with the outcast. You have Bible study that women get to ask questions in. You're with the outcast. You know why? Because I want women to rest in the chair.
Amen.
Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory. And when you talk to people, I hope that they become interested in the Primitive Baptist Church because they see Christ in you. You will not win people just because they grew in the knowledge. You need to let them grow in grace and the knowledge, because the more you know about Jesus Christ, here's what you're going to figure out. The bigger loser you really are. I can't figure out how anybody can know Jesus Christ and then get puffed up about themselves because they're able to memorize 7 consecutive verses. That's great. I'll give you 1. Jesus wept. I'll give you 2. In the beginning, God created the... Yeah, you get puffed, and then it's just, okay. That's where I'm coming from tonight. And if y'all say, hey, Brother John, you know, Friday night was great. You know, we're going to get Brother Tim on Saturday and Sunday. I will understand. Because I am an outcast. And I, you know what? Here's the funny thing, though. I'm preaching to outcasts. And so here, and I'd like to talk to you about growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because this is what Peter says. And he's saying, I want you to progress in your Christian walk. I want you to go from point A to point B. But let me tell you about progress and what it looks like in my life. And I'm going to go back to the year 1969 because that's the year I got my first bicycle. It was a Spider, and it was purple, and it was awesome with the chrome handlebars. It was kicking. And I got on that bike, and my daddy got behind me. And this is how you learned to ride back then. There were no training wheels for us back then, or at least none that we bought. And Dad ran alongside of me, and he pushed me, and I was going. And I don't know, maybe y'all that are, I got the speed wobbles. Y'all know what that is? I mean, that's where you're going, and all of a sudden you realize how fast you're going. You go, ah! And your first reaction and your first thought is, hey, bicycles have brakes. No, that's not your first thought. Your first thought is, at least my first thought at the age of 5, was to go, help me. And I crashed. And my shiny chrome handlebar had marks on it. And within 6 months, it would just be rust because I crashed so much. And what happens to us in our spiritual walk? There's a point to this. Every one of us in our Christian walk, in our spiritual walk, is going to go, and we're going to fall down. We're going to have marriages that fell. We're going to have addictions that come upon us. We're going to have thoughts, and we're going to cave into some temptations. What do you do when you fell? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And the Lord being with us, I hope he impresses us on that one. Because what happens when you crash and when you catch the speed wobbles and your progress stops? Well, Peter says something to encourage us, to help us in here. And this is what here's what I kind of think about when I'm reading Peter. Consider the source. Y'all heard that phrase. Consider the source is like, look at the credibility of the man who's making this statement. Well, Peter says, I want you to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, let's consider the source. Let's look at the Apostle Peter tonight. And you kind of come across the Apostle Peter. We're going to go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to spend some time in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we kind of meet Peter for the first time. And here's where we meet in verse 1. And y'all are familiar with this passage of scripture. If you're not, listen up, pull it up on your Bible app, you know, pull out your Bible. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships, we're talking about Jesus, standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I will let down the net. Hey, I want to talk to you about the key of progress when your bike comes and you smash and your spiritual walk, you crash, and what happens. There's a key phrase here about the Apostle Peter. We're going to see this and how he can make some progress in his spiritual walk. And it's found in this wonderful word in verse 5. It says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to let down your net. And here's the first principle of spiritual growth. Jesus, because you say so, I will. Jesus, I know you say to give, but you don't understand. If I give, a bill doesn't get paid. Nevertheless, Lord, I know that you say to forgive, but you don't know what this man did. You don't know how he acted. You don't know what he said. Nevertheless, Jesus, look, all these things that you're talking to me about, and I'm not real sure you know the kinds of parents
that I had and the childhood that I grow up with, there is no way I am going to call and try to reconcile. Nevertheless, one of the key principles of spiritual growth is doing something because Jesus said to do it. And it might not feel like the right thing. Some of you girls might need to break up with some of your boyfriends. Some of your boyfriends need to put the brakes on some of the things that you're doing because, simply because, Jesus said so. And here's the thing. I don't think people really have a hard time believing that Jesus is real. I mean, he's a historical fact. You can prove the existence of Jesus even outside the Bible. I mean, we don't have a hard time believing Jesus is real. And quite frankly, I got to be honest with you. I don't think a lot of us have any problem believing that Jesus is God. I think we just don't want to do what he says. I know you're real. I know you're the Son of God. I just don't want to do what you say. And part of that is because the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? It's this doctrine that we in the Primitive Baptist Church call total depravity. There is none righteous, no, not one. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Look at me just quoting scripture left and right. That's exciting. Woo! Oh, my. Well, okay. Anyway, too many jokes going into my head. I'm so sorry. The heart's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? And part of the problem that so many of us face is this. And people you might know like this. I mean, just imagine yourself for just a second that you're in the Gulf of Mexico and you launch out into the deep. And all of a sudden, this huge storm comes on up. And the captain of the boat says, hey, I know exactly what to do. We need to throw the anchor out. And we need the anchor. And we're going to throw it out. And you're just sitting there thinking, yeah, that's right. Because, you know, anchor hits ocean floor. Now we're locked onto something that's really solid. This is going to be really cool. And the anchor and the captain says, okay, everybody grab hold. Get the anchor. Okay, one. And throw it out into the middle of the boat. Well, you know, Captain, have you been having one too many Mai Tais with Ginger and Marianne? You don't throw the anchor in the middle of the boat. You got to throw it on something that stands and is sure and is real. You don't throw it in the middle of the boat because the boat's all flippity-floppity. And yet so many people in our lives are throwing their anchors in the middle of the boat because you trust in your 401k. You trust in your appearance and in your job. You trust in your walk and your Christian spirituality, and you can handle the problem. If you're like that, your anchor's in a boat. It blows my mind. And the scripture will tell us time and time and time again. What Jesus wants, what Jesus is, the way he would have us lead our lives. And some people don't want to follow Jesus because they think it'll cost them. I want you to know, and let me be real plain, following Jesus will cost you. It will cost you every shame that you have. It will cost all the regret that you have from every stupid decision that you've ever made. Oh, it costs a lot. It's going to cost you every hurt, every heartache, every tear that you've ever cried. It'll cost you that because in Jesus, you're going to find satisfaction. So I don't really care what you think about me. And I don't care if you have me in your little in crowd with your little members only jacket. That's fine because, you know, the King of Kings loves me. Amen. And that's all the identity I need. So when I put my picture on Facebook and only get 4 likes, I don't have to go Bitterman party of one. The King of Kings loves me. You know, the King loves me. Right now, we have young ladies that are struggling. Right now. Oh, let me just time out here. Likes on Facebook, you know you can buy them, right? You go to Fiverr.com and you can buy like 500 likes for like $20. I mean, that's how cheap likes are on Facebook, people. Oh, they got 1,000 likes. They probably bought them. I'm thinking, anyway, Brother John, sermons, 500 likes. That'd be kind of cool. Anyway. Really, just, I mean, that's how cheesy that is. Young ladies with eating disorders because they have an image problem. Let me tell you something. The King of Kings thinks you're worth dying for, and you need to know right now you're beautiful. to the King of Kings. Who cares what Chico down the block thinks? You're important to the King of Kings.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, Christ is everything. And we're not just going to learn, you know, about the height and the depth, if it's even possible to learn that about Jesus Christ. But what we're really being called upon to do is to just rest in Jesus Christ, throw our anchor in Jesus Christ. And the secret of spiritual progress to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ begins with this: nevertheless. Oh, Pat, who was Debbie Boone, 1970s. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. You light up my life. Okay, Debbie, you're stupid. It can be wrong when it feels so right. I don't care how he lights up your light. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. There are some things that make your body go, woohoo, fireworks go off, and it's wrong. And you should say it's wrong because Jesus says it's wrong. And you might want to do it, and your body might burn, but nevertheless. Peter, you know, what happens here? Okay, so Peter, he says, nevertheless, Lord, what you do, whatever you say, I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, Peter casts the net on over. They're pulling in so many fish. The nets are starting to break. They call in the other boats. They get their nets. They're pulling in so much that the two ships combined are starting to sink. We're off on a pretty good start. Peter's gotten pretty good. Peter's on the bicycle. Peter's pedaling. Peter's doing pretty good. Then there's another section of Matthew, it's in the gospel, where Jesus looks at Peter and he says, hey, Peter, here are the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. And let me tell you something. I don't know exactly what that means, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you got keys to the kingdom, Peter, and Jesus gave it to you. Peter's peddling. Peter's making progress. Peter's doing something pretty good. Let's go on over to Matthew chapter 26, because Peter gets some speed wobble and Peter crashes. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Because here's what happens. And y'all know the story. Peter's peddling. Things are going. Jesus is preaching. And then all of a sudden, the religious people get offended. The religious intelligentsias, they get offended. Because up until that point, it's always, hey, we're going to tell you how to live. We're going to tell you what's acceptable. We're going to tell you who is approved and who isn't. We're going to tell you who gets to wear the members only jacket. Religious people back then and today get offended by real grace. And back then, they're saying, this is the system. This is the way. And Jesus says, uh-uh, it's not that way anymore. It's going to be about me. I'm going to be the perfect lamb. I'm going to die and I'm going to raise again. I'm going to come on back. It's about me. Just believe in me. And if you believe in me, out of your belly are going to flow streams of living water. And they hated him and they took him and they beat him and they put him on trial. They beat him. They scourged him and they crucified him. It's a dark time. And right as they're taking Jesus away, y'all know the story. Come to Matthew chapter 26. There's this little girl that comes to Peter. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel, a little girl, came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Now, as a southern man, this offends me. And I got to be honest with you, you know, because I got a big brother. And, you know, you can say a lot of things about me and I'll forgive you. You can slap me and I'll turn the other cheek if I'm in, you know, a good spirit right there. But hey, I'm telling, I'd like to say I'll keep turning the other cheek, but I know me and me has a, you know, we got anger issues. But let me tell you something. You'll have a fight with my older brother. And if you're picking on my older brother, you're going to have a problem with me. I mean, because in the South, we have each other's back. I mean, that's just the fundamental tenet of manhood. Get your brother's back. And Jesus has given himself and invested himself and just totally given his life to Peter for 3 years. And at the point that Jesus needed him most, Peter turned his back. As a Southern man, that
deeply offends me. Until I realize, man, I've turned my back on Jesus for a lot less. And some of y'all have turned your back on Jesus for a picture of a pretty girl on the internet. Some of you turned your back on Jesus for a fling on Facebook or a couple more thousand dollars at work. Some have walked away from marriages and for kids. From kids. We've turned our back on Jesus for far less. And I'm looking to Peter and I'm like, Peter, how could you do this? And not only did you betray Jesus, but it's for a little girl. I mean, look, I am not advocating violence towards women. I am not, but it's a girl. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, I know Jesus. You know, why don't you get all your other little girls? And if your daddy's around and he's not too big, I got something left over for him. Peter didn't do that. He denied him once, denied him twice, denied him three times. You know what happened? Peter crashed. Right there. Peter crashes. And so what do you do, church, when you had this moment when you've walked away and you denied Jesus? What do you do? John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We're going to stay there for a little bit. John chapter 21, verse 2, it says, there were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, they entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Peter is following Jesus, then all of a sudden he catches some of the speed wobbles, and wham, he just goes back to doing what he always does. Now, just to kind of catch us up, for those of y'all that might not realize this, the crucifixion happened over a week ago. Did you dig it? I mean, you can put this together in the gospel accounts. It's actually 8 days. And here we are. Crucifixion happens. Resurrection Sunday. All of a sudden, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the other lady, they're Joanna. They're like, we went to the tomb. The tomb is empty. Y'all remember the story? Peter runs to the tomb. No Jesus. Then two dudes are on the Emmaus Road, and they're talking, and Jesus reveals himself to them. Jesus is popping all over the place, but not to Peter. And you know what Peter's thinking. I mean, you don't even have to, you know, you could be a 40-watt light bulb in a 100-watt world and know what Peter's thinking. I let him down. I betrayed him. No Jesus for me. And I know this because I have felt this way. I might not have cognizantly said, no Jesus for me. But I've made such a shipwreck of myself sometimes. I'm like, God's not, he's mad at me. And I'm a Primitive Baptist preacher. I've been Primitive Baptist my whole life. 15 years with the progressive movement and then 35 years among us. I've been preaching 18 of those years. And there are still times when I have that kind of, oh man, God's angry with me. Let me tell you something, God's not angry with you. All the anger that God had went on Jesus Christ. I'm free. Stand fast in the liberty. Oh, yeah. I'm free. I'm free not to preach the perfect sermon because Christ is at work. I'm free not to be the perfect individual. And you know what that makes me? It doesn't make me licentiate. It makes me love Jesus that much more. when I'm just like, man, my Savior loves me. Grace is real. Oh, my stars. And when some of my Primitive Baptist brothers are doing things that maybe I don't 100% agree with, makes me say, might not do that, but man, I love them. Because maybe they're right, maybe I'm right, I don't know, I love them. When I'm out there and I have a harsh word, and I just like, oh man, how could I be a preacher? Who put you up on the perfect pedestal? I'm not perfect, and I'm not going to make any pretense to perfect. And I'm not going to give you examples where I'm perfect. I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God, and now I'm a saint. That's my story. But I want you to notice something, because I don't want you to miss this, kids. When Peter thought that he had failed, and Peter did not feel the presence of God in his life, this is what he did. He said, I go a fishing. Now, he was a fisherman when he started, The boat was empty. Not that good of a fisherman, apparently. And he says, I go a fishing. Now dig this. And the other said, nah, we'll go along with you. Every human interaction can be a human interaction for good, and it can be a human interaction for evil. There's not that many neutral human interactions. I mean, I come away from y'all and I'm feeling pretty good. Those are positive interactions. Thank y'all so much. But there's sometimes I come away from people and I'm like, man, oh man. Well, Peter, he's just going back to the old way of doing things. And sometimes that's a temptation we face when we don't feel Jesus near us. I mean, there's times when you're walking and you feel the Spirit and things are good and the cotton's high and mama's good looking. It's like, that's good. But when things get rough, let one too many bills come. Let one too many bill collectors come. Let one too many temptations come. Let one too many things come and you slip, you fall or something like that. Then it's just like, this whole Christian thing, it's just not worth it. It's just, you know, it's just a bunch of lists. I'm just going to go back to doing things the way I used to. I'm just going to go back to the bottle of Jack. Yeah, this whole marriage thing, this whole intimacy thing, this thing's not working out. I'm just going to go back to my internet site. I'm just going to go back. And you can take people down with you. I want you to think about your spiritual walk kind of like a hot air balloon. Because a hot air balloon is either going up or it's going down. There is no stasis. It doesn't stay the same. You can go up, you can go down. And let me tell you something. The Lord knows there are going to be times when we're up on the mountaintops, but there are times we're down. And the good news is our God is not only God of the mountains, the God of cattle of a thousand hills. Our God is the God of the valley, too.
Amen.
You know, that's one of the beautiful things about being a Primitive Baptist. You believe God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. You believe God's omniscient. He knows everything, including the stupid sins we do and the bicycle wrecks we have. We're not hiding them. We're not kidding anybody. But he's also omnipresent.
Amen.
And he is with us in the good times, and he was with us in the bad times. And so Peter sits there and goes, you know, I hadn't seen Jesus. It's been 8 days now. He's not coming back for me. I'm a complete loser. Any way you look at it, I'm a loser. I'm just going to go back to doing things the way I used to. And then it says, verse 4, but when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Hey, Primitive Baptist, we don't have to find our way to Jesus. Jesus finds his way to us.
Amen.
That's good news for sinners, people. Here's the other thing you need to be aware of. If you're locked up in sin right now, or you're a fishing, you've gone back to the old way of lifestyle, when you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, it's getting hard to see Jesus. It says the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They had gone back to the old way of doing things. And the longer you're on that road of sin, and the further you're trying to walk away from Jesus, sometimes it gets harder to see Jesus in the moment.
Right.
Because here's what I want to let you know something too. Jesus is in every moment.
Yeah.
Jesus is omnipresent. And the trick is how can I find Jesus in this disaster? Mom, Dad, just diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I need to find you in this moment, Jesus. Because this is an awful difficult moment. I just got served with divorce papers. I need to find Jesus in this moment. And you can. You can find Jesus in the most difficult moments and the trials and the tribulations of your life. Don't ever try to give up finding Jesus.
Amen.
Sometimes you just get these thoughts that pop into your head, and I just want to say it. If anybody here is contemplating suicide, don't. Find Jesus in the moment.
Amen.
or find somebody who has found Jesus because they can be a force for good. The answer is never suicide. It's not checking out. And suicide won't send you to hell. God has determined who's there. And oh, by the way, the people that go into heaven outnumber the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky so vast no man can number it. Ooh, there I go quoting scripture again. It's crazy. And it's not according to anything you did, said, and nothing you can do can take you away from that. That is all true. But God has a purpose. You were created on purpose, for a purpose, with a purpose, and your purpose is to bring glory to Jesus Christ through your life. So don't take the shortcut.
Amen.
And here, because let me tell you something. people in certain roads and certain walks and certain attitudes, they have a hard time seeing Jesus. And this is the disciple situation. They're having a hard time seeing Jesus. But Jesus didn't say, he didn't sit back there and go, man, there they go again. Losers not only betray me, but now they're just going back to doing things the way they used to do them. That's John's reaction. Seriously, that's my reaction. I'm still working, you know. I'm farther along my walk than I was 18 years ago and 35 years ago, but I got a long way to go. And I'm still going to be working on it when I die. And I don't mind telling you people this, and I don't mind confessing this, because y'all do too. We all have a ways to go in our Christian walk. So here it comes, and this is what it says. Because it gets harder to recognize Jesus when we walk away from him. But here's the thing. He is still there because our Savior doesn't abandon us. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall... Oh, by the way, Peter's come back fishing, and he still stinks at being a fisherman. I mean, this guy is just, I don't even know why he took up the profession. He's never catching any fish. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitudes. Something's crazy, but I have read this story before. Listen, they watched him die. You catch that? And one of the reasons I follow Jesus is because he came back from death to life. And if you're a Muslim, you can't say that. Amen. And if you're a Buddhist, you can't say that. And if you're into Confucianism, you can't say that. I can say it. And here's the cool thing about worshiping a man who was dead and came back to life. When you get resurrection power, it brings a certain amount of clarity to the situation. It brings a certain amount of purpose to the situation. There is a certain hope, a certain purpose, and a certain clarity when you can say that about the person that you are following. Resurrection. It's all about resurrection. Verse 7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loveth, I just love that phrase too, because, you know, John's writing the book, and he just can't help but tweak it just one more time in the spirit of my way. I'm the dude that the Lord loved, and it's just time immemorial. Therefore, you know, therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loveth saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. See, there was a body of water between Peter and Jesus. And Peter, when he sees Jesus, and he feels that forgiveness, and he's aware that Jesus still loves him despite all of his betrayal, despite his spiritual crash, despite of the fact that he's doing what he used to do and didn't remain faithful, didn't remain true. When he sees Jesus like that, nothing can keep him from Jesus. Amen. And I'm afraid that many times, too often, sometimes we feel distant from Jesus. We feel separated from Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, Jesus, well, let's go this way. You know, let's get a little bit of fig leaf and let's cover on up. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't. When you can feel the fact that you're a despicable sinner, because we're all despicable sinners. There should be no body of water that separates you from Jesus Christ. Nothing should separate you from Jesus Christ. No background, no attitude, no sin, no nothing should separate you from Jesus Christ. You should just do away with it and come to Christ. Amen. And the reason you can come to Christ is because he's already put his spirit into you and caused you to be born again. You see, that's the beauty of it. It's so simple. God has a people. It's a vast number of people. It includes people from every nation, kindred, and tongue. There's some Primitive Baptists here. There's the Pope of the Primitive Baptist Church. There's John. There's some Muslims. There's some Jews. There's some mentally challenged people. These are the babies that never died and never had a chance to believe. But this is my family. This is who I died for. And at some point, I'm going to put my spirit in them, and they're going to be spiritually alive. And they're going to be able to see. And they're going to be able to hear. And it's because of anything they did, because see, they were spiritually dead, and dead people can't hear, dead people can't see, dead people can't believe, and dead people can't confess. Amen. Oh, it's so simple.
Amen.
And it's not because you're pretty. And it's not because you're smart. And it's not because you got some sort of members only jacket on. It's solely because Jesus is good. God is good. God is great. That's a prayer we pray here down here in the South. Do you really ever stop to think about it? God is good. And Peter, he knew Christ, and now Christ has shown up, and he's like, God is good, and nothing's going to separate me from him. Now, I want you to follow this. Just track this for just a little bit further, because there's something really interesting going on. And this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, and after that, he was risen from the dead. You know, there we go, getting reminded about the resurrection again. Kind of cool. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, you know I love thee. He said, won't you feed my lambs? Then he said it a second time. He says, hey, you love them? Feed my sheep. Then he said it a third time. Peter's getting kind of distressed. Why are you saying this to me? You know I love you. Feed my lambs here. But track this. Verse 19. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. And this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. In other words, Jesus said, hey, Peter, you're going to be following me, and I have no doubt in you anymore. I got full confidence in you, but I just want to let you know you're going to be crucified too. Track this. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. The exact same place where Peter's relationship with Jesus started is the exact same place that Jesus leaves it before he goes off to Pentecost. This is amazing. And it's life changing. Jesus's message to Peter didn't change despite the betrayal, despite the denial, despite the spiritual wreck, despite the fact he went fishing again, couldn't maintain for even 8 days. Peter, and it's just, none of that altered the message that Jesus had for Peter. Hey, Peter, follow me. And it doesn't, your lifestyle has not altered the message of Jesus. Some of y'all might be spiritually discouraged right now. Follow Jesus. In other words, get up on the bike and start pedaling again, because there is strength in standing up. It's called resilience. Standing up, getting on the bike, and pedaling again. Are you going to experience speed wobble? Peter did. You know what happened to me on my bike? Dad came because I was crying. And he stooped down and he got me in his big old arms. He said, John, I want you to get on bike. I don't want to get on bike, Daddy. Bike hurts. Goes too fast. I want you to get on bike, son. I'll hold you a little bit longer this time. I don't want to get on bike, Daddy. Let's get on bike, son. And my dad held it just a little bit longer and pushed me. And I made some time, and I crashed eventually. Then again and again. And finally I got it. I got over the speed wobbles because I had a father that would hold me and would love me and would encourage me. And he wanted me to experience what it's like to be able to ride a bike. And it's cool. You know, I've actually got on a bike now and I've ridden 20 miles without crashing. It's kind of cool. Uh-oh, hold on a second. That's an example that might have made me look good. I'll bring a little reality to never mind. Bad joke in my head. Okay, so I want... It was about biking shorts and all that stuff. Y'all don't want to hear it. It's kind of I want to let you know, we have a Father that loves us and encourages us. And I want you to see what a difference it makes when you know Jesus like this, people. When you know Jesus as a Father who's not condemnatory or judgmental, but a Father who loves you and encourages you and gave his Son for you. Because just a little while later, you're going to read it over in Acts. It's kind of cool. Over in the Gospel of Acts. They're gathered around, Acts chapter 2. And here the religious people are again. They're all gathered around because it's the Feast of Pentecost. It's one of those feasts that they had. People come to Jerusalem. It's a big old time. And there's 3,000 people that are gathered there. There's actually a multitude. I'm sorry, a multitude of people are gathered there. And here Peter is. This is shy Peter. Here's timid Peter. Here's little girl afraid Peter. Little girl, I'm going to be okay. And all of a sudden he stands up among all the religious people with all their vestments and all their robes and all their popeness. And he says, men and brethren, this man, Jesus Christ, you have taken and with wicked hands. Dude, that takes a lot of courage to stand and look at the people who executed Christ and say, hey, you're the idiots that executed the best man that ever lived. That's courage. That's boldness. And he keeps on going, and it's kind of cool. And he keeps on, and you know, there's this thing, he keeps on quoting. And we're starting to see something because of the Spirit. It says over there, in verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7, and they were all amazed and saying one to another, behold, are not all these which spake Galileans? Yeah, we're the Galileans. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes and Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth? And this is kind of cool because it harkens back to Genesis chapter 10, because we know the story of Genesis chapter 10 when all the human race was speaking one language, everybody's working together, and then the humans get all puffed up and God says, you know what? If they can do this, there is nothing that can stop them. And so what God did at the Tower of Babel is divide us up into different languages. Because when we speak with the same language according to the Word of God, there is nothing that we can't do. And here the Holy Spirit comes in the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit says, all right, I'm going to reverse what happens. And we're all going to speak the same language in the church. And the Phrygians and the Pamphylians and the Cretes and all these people, all the different languages, were hearing one voice. Because in one voice, there is nothing that we can't do. And it's the church of the living God who speaks with the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we're speaking to the true voice about the true grace of God, about Jesus Christ truly high and lifted up, how is he all perfect Savior? When we're speaking with one voice on that one, nothing can stop us. So that's why I'm encouraged about the Primitive Baptist Church, regardless of the popes and the archbishops that are running around here, because the real power of the Primitive Baptist Church is the truth of the unmitigated, unreserved, 200-proof grace of God. Amen. And when we're speaking with one voice about the grace of God, nothing can stop us. And let me tell you about the voice of the grace of God. Because he goes on, he's talking about the prophecy of the book of Joel, and he's talking about resurrection power. Then he goes on and talks about David and how David's pointing to resurrection power. Then he continues on, verse 36. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Hey, Jesus has remitted your sins. It's time to repent. It's time to confess that. And it's time to acknowledge him. Don't let a body of water separate you. And you know what's really cool? 3,000 were converted that day. Now, I don't know if you're tracking on this one. But that's another reversal. And the reversal is a reversal we see in Exodus chapter 32. Y'all remember this story, Exodus chapter 32, and we come to verse 28. But in Exodus chapter 32, here's what Moses is. He's gone up, he's gotten the Ten Commandments, he's walking down, looking a little bit like, man, I'm looking like Charlton Heston, I'm looking pretty good. All of a sudden, he comes to the camp, I'm just joking there. He comes to the camp, you got to lighten up, be a lively church, people. He comes down to the camp. And all the people are starting to worship, are worshiping a golden calf. And he's like, hey, Aaron, you know, what are you doing? This is going to be war, Balake. You know, this is. Y'all are just wicked. They can catch you up on that. But he goes, hey, Aaron, this is trouble right here. You know, you got the people, you know, you got people worshiping the golden calf. And he says, all right, everybody's going to be for the Lord. Come on, stand over here. And the whole mess of people came over. He says, all right, people, go. And they went and they killed 3,000.
That's right.
See what the law did? Christ reversed.
Amen.
Verse 28. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Hey, everything reversed with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What the law was doing and condemning us, that's done. Now we got the Spirit. What happened to the Tower of Babel, that's over with. And now it's reversed, and we can do whatever, you know. Nothing can stop these people speaking with one voice. And in the Holy Spirit speaking with one voice, the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against us. And I don't know what kind of hell you're in. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a financial problem. Maybe it's your self-worth. You know, I don't know what kind of living hell you're in, but I know there are a lot of people engaged. Hey, there's some kids that do cutting. Have y'all know about this? Where they cut themselves in places that their parent can't see because they're just so numb and dead to the sensory overload of this world. And they want to feel something. And so they're cutting themselves. It's an act of self-mutilation, and it's not part of God's plan for that.
Amen.
That's not part of God's plan. Let me tell you something. Everything has been reversed in this world. Christ made a difference. Jesus coming to this earth makes a difference. So I just want to leave you with a couple of thoughts here. Because following Jesus has nothing to do with our effort. It has everything to do with God's goodness. And the same place that you started your relationship with Jesus is the same place that we continue our relationship with Jesus. Jesus isn't mad at you because of your failures. And don't ever let your mistakes keep you from coming back to Jesus. Just get on the bike and start pedaling again. Who told you that your marriage was done and over? Who told you that you couldn't conquer that addiction? Who told you that? Who told you that reconciliation couldn't happen among parents and children or among churches? Who told you that? We serve the living God.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing. When I don't have my dad anymore. I lost him about 7 years ago. But it's like, son, I love you. I just get up on the bike. Just start pedaling again. So wherever you are in your life, if right now you're going through a struggle, just get back up, man. Jesus is not mad at you. Just start pedaling again. Just start using that word. Nevertheless, I know what I need to do. I've been sitting in church my whole life. Nevertheless, I'm just going to do it. And then you'll make progress. And you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Thank you.